Joining us is Dr. Elizabeth Tyndale. She's president of the American College of Rheumatology. She's also clinical professor of medicine in the Division of Arthritis and Rheumatic Diseases at Oregon Health Sciences University in Portland. Dr. Tyndale, welcome to Day to Day.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
Give us a sense of how popular naproxen is as a painkiller. How many people use it?
I actually have tried to research that, and I would put millions of patients in that category who have taken naproxen or who are taking it now. It has been an extremely popular medication. It was approved for over-the-counter use by the FDA in 1994 in a low dose, and prior to that had been one of the most popular non-steroidals that had been put on the market. Ibuprofen and naproxen were the two most popular non-steroidals that were prescribed for many, many years.
And what is the relationship between them? Because in news accounts, I read that ibuprofen may be implicated as well.
Well, there have been some reports where ibuprofen could adversely affect the cardioprotective effects of aspirin. That has not been looked at as carefully as we would like to try and clarify for patients whether or not they can continue on their aspirin, but it seems that if, at least from the preliminary data, that perhaps switching the times that you would take your aspirin and making it at a different time of the day than when you take your ibuprofen would allow the cardioprotective effects to still, it would remain possible for the patients to still have the cardioprotective effects. They haven't really looked at ibuprofen for some time, because it is such a popular non-steroidal that I think patients have gotten very comfortable with its use and physicians as well. But I think in view of all the new things that we're seeing, all of the older non-steroidals are going to have to be thoroughly examined again and decide just how safe they are and how they can be used effectively.
I wonder if you can help me make sense of one thing, Dr. Tyndale. The big news last week was this Celebrex study, which said there appears to be a relationship between Celebrex and heart problems.
Yes.
This naproxen study that we heard about just yesterday looked at a big patient load, 2,500 patients, some using Celebrex, some using naproxen, some taking placebos.
Mm-hmm.
It finds a problem with naproxen, but no problem with Celebrex. So how do you correlate that data?
Well, I think that's the problem with clinical trials and not having them published and not being able to review the patient populations, the comorbidities, and all the other factors that play a role in deciding safety and efficacy. And by that, I mean when they're talking about a 70-year-old healthy population taking these medications for prevention of Alzheimer's. By 70, most of us do have some other medical problems, maybe on some other medications, and perhaps those would help give us an idea of who's truly at risk. And I think that for the naproxen portion of this study, this is the first time really that naproxen has been implicated in any sort of cardiovascular problems. And I have to say last week's study with Celebrex also was one of the first studies and only studies that has implicated Celebrex. So when you have these medications that have been around for years and used by millions and they appear to be quite safe, and then you suddenly get a study that reports a serious adverse event, I think you really need to scrutinize what's out there and see if there really is a true risk or if this was more serendipity or unique to this particular patient population.
Well, it's just very odd that you get a Celebrex study last week that says there's a problem, and then you get a study this week that says, no,
there
wait,
no problem.
Naproxen is the problem, and
right.
Celebrex is fine. It is odd. It's quite confusing. You are in the position of people coming to you and saying, what should I do? And
mm-hmm.
What are you saying?
Everyone's saying, talk to your doctor. I saw the FDA say that last night on the news as well, and I thought, oh, great, here come the phone calls. And basically, I think it's an individualized thing with each patient. If you have somebody who is a very low risk for cardiovascular or cerebrovascular events, and they're taking one of these non-steroidals, if they are comfortable in continuing on them and they seem to be working quite well, then I don't think we necessarily need to switch. And by that, I would use an example of a patient I saw last week who was interviewed in our local paper, a 28-year-old young woman with rheumatoid arthritis. And she's tried multiple other medications and has done very well on Celebrex and was doing well on Vioxx. And her point was, my quality of life, my ability to work, take care of my children has been so significantly improved and my risks are so low that I want to continue taking this medication. It's helped me a great deal. And I think that conversation probably is going to need to take place with patients and their physicians with all of these medications. And if you have a high-risk individual or there's concerns, best thing to do would be to stop it, try one of the older nonsteroidals, perhaps with a proton pump inhibitor, or a different analgesic altogether, acetaminophen, tramadol, even some of the low-dose narcotic medications for pain until the dust settles a bit.
Dr. Elizabeth Tyndall, president of the American College of Rheumatology, thank you for joining us on Day to Day.
Thank you very much for inviting me.